The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Morning. It is time to get up with a true Hollywood thriller. Right down to the wire, and one of the stars limped off at the end. So much to get to. We'll start there. Meanwhile, explaining the inexplicable, Urban talks Tebow. You need to hear everything he had to say. And then our crew will tell you exactly why the mess in Green Bay just got much, much worse. All that and a whole lot more as we get up with you, starting right now, on a Wednesday. The schedule's coming out tonight. It's trickling in as we speak. We have tons of details to come, and we have all the right people to talk about it. I present for your viewing pleasure, Kimberly Martin, Marcus Pierce, and a man who once sacked Tim Tebow for a 30-yard loss, Rob Ninkovich. I have a feeling we'll hear about it as the day goes on. But we begin with a thriller last night in Hollywood. Here we go. Lakers, Knicks, Staples, LeBron James not on the floor. Sitting out one more, but what a game it was. Fourth quarter, Lakers down by five. Andre Drummond dumping it in. Anthony Davis throwing it down. It's a three-point game. Now we're tied, under 2 minutes to go. Derrick Rose, he's found the fountain of youth this year. He went for 27. Look at the floater there. Knicks a two-point lead. Spike Lee there. He loved it. 20 seconds left. Knicks by two. Anthony Davis D'ing up on Julius Randle. Knicks can't get a shot off. We got a shot clock violation. Knicks turn it over. Ensuing Laker possession. 10 seconds left. Kentavious, Caldwell, Pope. Corner three for the lead. No good. Wesley Matthews up and back. And it's good. LeBron wants a foul. Doesn't get it. Tied at 91. 3 seconds remaining. Knicks get one more chance. Randle. There's contact. There's no whistle. And it's no good. We're going to overtime. Tied at 91. In the OT. Lakers leading by one. Keep an eye on Anthony Davis here. Going to come up a little bit lame. He would limp around a little bit here. He'd stay in the game. We'll hear from him in a moment. Lakers up three. A buck 15 to go. Knicks down by two. Randle, three. Yes. Randle, 31 points, 8 boards. Knicks a one-point lead. 25 seconds left. Lakers down one. Kalen, Horton, Tucker. Oh, what a big shot. LeBron loves it. Lakers take a two-point lead. Final chance for the Knicks. Down by two. R.J. Barrett had a terrible night. 2 of 13 from the floor. 0 of 7 from three. Can't find anywhere to go with it. And that's not even close. That's how it ends. Lakers get the win. 101-99. Had a postseason feel at Staples.
I'm hurt. not more so my body. Just, my groin got tight. That was really it. Not sure where it came from, but the groin got a little tight. And there's no way I was coming off the game. I mean, big game for us. A team was playing real high. The situation that we're in, trying to battle for six.
All right, so a lot to get into here. Davis now iffy for tonight's game against Houston. The Lakers are seventh, just a game out of fifth. The top six teams, remember, avoid the play-in tournament. Blazers, Mavs, and Lakers all in that mix. Warriors and Grizzlies right now locked into the play-in. All right, so there's a lot to unpack here, and the perfect man to unpack it is Jay Will, KJZ, every weekday morning on ESPN Radio Coast to Coast, but stops by here. So, let's start with the game. That's a good night for the NBA.
It's a great night.
Wasn't it?
It was a great night. Lakers, Knicks, major markets. Knicks in contention for that fourth spot in the playoffs. Lakers trying to make sure they want to stay out of the play-in tournament, which they're fighting for. If I were to tell you before this game, Greeny, no LeBron James, no Dennis Schroeder. And by the way, Alex Caruso scored double digits your last two games, only played 7 minutes. You say the Knicks win this game easily. They defended last night. AD stepped up, and THT, Taylor Horton Tucker down the stretch. You got the must win that you need to stay out of the play-in tournament, which you're working toward.
And there's something kind of nice about a 101-99 game in overtime rather than 135-134 in regulation. Having said that, we see AD limping at the very end and all the rest of that. What is the Lakers' priority here, to try and get out of the play-in or to rest LeBron and AD all the way as long as they can?
D, all the above. You can do that. Have you seen their next three games? Mm. They're going against the Rockets, the worst team in the league. Then next up, you have the Pacers, which will be a difficult game, but LeBron James will be back. I think you can give AD some rest against the Rockets, and then you have the Pelicans down the stretch. No Zion Williamson, right? So, look, you're a game behind both Portland and Dallas for the fifth or the sixth seed. Portland has a difficult schedule down the stretch. You win these next three games, you allow AD to rest a little bit with LeBron, you work them back into the equation, 3-0, you could find yourself not in the play-in tournament.
So every single morning, it feels like you come over here and we take the temperature.
Because it matters, Greeny. We're down the stretch.
So what is the thermometer reading today on the Lakers, whether they're in the play-in game or the play-in tournament or not? What does the temperature say?
Like Aaron Rodgers said, it's a beautiful mystery. I'm going to tell you, Greeny. I'm going to tell everybody, R-E-L-A-X. Relax. LeBron James comes back. AD comes back. I'll take the Lakers against the Phoenix Suns in the first round. Let's see how it plays out.
They got to get to the first round, though. They got to get to a red hot Steph. If they wind up in the play-in tournament and Steph is bombing 35-point threes or 35-foot threes, that doesn't scare you at all.
No, it does not. And I love Stephen Curry. I think Steph is incredible in the MVP conversation. But you're telling me you're going to take Steph over LeBron James and Anthony Davis? Is that what you would do?
No, I most definitely.
Okay, great.
I'm not taking
We're on the same page.
If LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy, I'd take the Lakers over the field. I said that before.
Agreed.
I said it when the previous season started.
The entire field or just the Western Conference field?
The Western Conference field. I don't take anybody against Brooklyn.
Okay.
I mean, I'd take Brooklyn against absolutely anybody, regardless of what happens if those three guys are healthy.
Agreed. If they're healthy, that's a big caveat.
Again, we take the temperature every single day. Today, it reads 98.7. Jay Will, KJZ, every weekday morning on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay. To the NFL we go now, and it is schedule release day, otherwise known as a national holiday. The defending champion Buccaneers, we know they have the fourth easiest schedule. No game will be bigger that is announced today than when Tom Brady returns to Foxborough, so that's one thing to keep an eye on. The toughest schedule in football belongs to the Steelers in what might be Ben Roethlisberger's last year. The last four teams with the toughest schedule finished under 500. We'll find out how they will open. And the Bears have the toughest schedule in the NFC. They will face teams from the two best divisions in the sport, the AFC North and the NFC West. They also have to visit Tampa this year. So that is a tough schedule. And as I bring the crew in here, that feels important, Kimberly, as we watch to see how the Bears season opens, because we know all the pressure that exists on the coaching staff and a lot of questions about how that will impact the development, Kimberly, of the young quarterback.
Yeah, Greeny, you hit on it. That, to me, I want to buy into the Bears because they moved up to get Justin Fields. It's a great story, this kid that fell in the draft. I just can't, because there's so much at stake for Ryan Pace, the GM, and Matt Nagy. And it seems like the hope of this franchise rests on this kid, Justin Fields. And that can be a tough situation for a rookie quarterback. And this is an organization that hasn't always done the right thing at the QB spot. We've seen, you know, them bypass Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and to go up to take Mitch Trubisky and have Nick Foles. So I want to believe that this is the year Chicago can turn around because of that defense, but I just hope that they do right by Justin Fields and develop him and not just throw him out, because we need to win to keep our jobs.
Well, that's the big part. Again, Marcus, there are certain things I have my eye on for today, and one of them is, how does the Bears season open? How tough is that early season schedule? What are your thoughts on how that might impact when we see Justin Fields out there for them? Marcus.
Yeah, G, I don't think it should impact it at all. I think Matt Nagy and Justin Fields should be on the phone every day. They should be trying to get together and figure out how to make sure he's comfortable to go out there and start week one. Listen, I'm not a big proponent of rookie quarterbacks starting week one, but Justin Fields is an upgrade over Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. I believe that. And listen, I'm going to get beyond how this is going to impact Matt Nagy's job or how it's going to impact Ryan Pace's job. We all understand the situation that they're in, and they are pressed to have success. I'm more concerned about Justin Fields gradually becoming the quarterback that the Chicago Bears have been searching for so many years. I believe he has the talent. Now it's up to Matt Nagy. It's up to him to put him in the best possible situation. And yeah, people would say, well, starting week one ain't the best possible situation. It is when you're the best player at your position.
You know, no one knows about that long wait and long struggle better than Joliet's own Rob Ninkovich, who's been waiting a long time to see the Bears get that quarterback. What is your sense of it? Again, we'll see what the schedule says. Is your sense that they start the rookie week one?
Look, sometimes you just got to jump in the deep end. And the Chicago, they were in a position where they had to go and get a quarterback. Look, the fan base wasn't going and buying Andy Dalton jerseys. I can guarantee you that. So they move up. They go get a guy that you feel can help that organization go in the right direction. And look, they've been searching for a long time to find that guy. And the head coach had to make this move because his job was on the line. Yes. So at times in the NFL, you're put in a position as a player where, yeah, you might be thrown into a spot pretty quickly, but you better learn fast because that team and that organization, they need a quarterback, not just for this year, for a long time. And, Andy Dalton, I didn't feel was the guy that was going to be that guy anyway. So why not put that rookie in a position, put him out there. They got a great defense and see what he can do. So I think that he should be the week one starter.
We're not yet 10 minutes in, and we have the first exasperated eye roll from Kimberly. What's going on there, Kimberly?
I'm scarred from covering so many bad football teams and seeing QBs not develop properly. But the idea of, well, just throw them out there, you got to sink or swim, I get it. But at the QB position, you can break a guy early. And I'm not saying Justin Fields will be broken or anything like that. It's just you've got to treat that position differently because that position is way different than everybody else on the field.
Marcus, let me show you what I've got so far because some of the information is starting to come out here. They're starting to announce some of the games, and here's what we know so far for week one. You take a look there, some very interesting matchups. Browns at Chiefs. Many of us believe that the Browns are the biggest threat to Kansas City and the AFC. I'm just looking at some of those. Jets at Panthers, which would mean the Jets against Sam Darnold, which is an interesting matchup, certainly for the fans of the Jets. Dolphins at Patriots, that's an interesting little one there. Marcus, as you look at that screen, what jumps out to you?
Everything, G. I'm just so damn excited. We know what games are coming. But let me tell you this, man. Obviously, that got me hype, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but that got me hype.
Yes.
Look, looking at that schedule, obviously the Browns and the Chiefs are the one that comes to mind. I got the Browns as a dark horse Super Bowl contender. I got the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. And yes, I know everybody is Tampa Bay crazy, but I got the Chiefs winning that thing. But I'm going to go all the way to the bottom where a lot of people not paying attention. Chargers, Washington football team. Justin Herbert and this offense against that defense, I think it's going to be electric, and we get a chance to see Justin Herbert and his maturation process after a phenomenal rookie season last year.
Can I also say this, just doing a little detective work? We did see the Bills on that. We didn't see the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of speculation. Would it be the Cowboys?
The
Will it be the Cowboys who open against Tampa on that opening Thursday night? These are all Sunday games. Again, I don't have any more information than what you're seeing on that screen. But I don't see the name Dallas on there.
Uh-oh.
That could mean the Cowboys and the Bucks will open the season. We'll find out tonight. We're going to find out everything tonight because the special is tonight. This is what it's going to look like. The season's NFL schedule release at 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN+. NFL Network also, of course, has full coverage. Our Monday Night Football crew, Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Lewis Riddick, along with Shefty, will take you through every team's schedule, break down the biggest matchups in a 3-hour special that's coming your way tonight. Meanwhile, we're just getting started. Coming up, what convinced Urban Meyer to give Tim Tebow a shot in Jacksonville? He's talking about it. You will hear what he had to say. And then, how a bad situation got worse in Green Bay. The latest on Rodgers and the Packers. As we get up with you on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, we are back on Get Up. And the NFL news that made all the waves this week, the Jaguars expected to sign Tim Tebow to a 1-year contract to play tight end. He hasn't played in the league since the 2015 preseason. He will be reunited, of course, with his old college coach, Urban Meyer, who was chatting with Chris Collinsworth on the podcast, talking about Tebow's impressive workout with Jaguars coaches.
They come in and they said, wow, you know, this guy's ball skills, he's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand now. This guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet. I'm getting close. I got to make a decision here pretty soon.
So to be clear, what he means by that is they haven't officially signed him yet, but the overall expectation is that they will. And Marcus, I have been waiting from the moment I saw this to get your take on it. And just for context, Marcus has sat next to Tim Tebow on the SEC Network and the pregame show, right, for 6-7 years now. So you know him about as well as anybody here knows him. What is your perspective on all this?
Listen, man. Listen. All right. It's two parts. It's two parts to this, y'all. It's two parts. One is we all like a plug. We all want to have a plug. We all want to have a connect. G, you was my connect to the great restaurant in New York the first couple of times I came out. You called. I got in quick. I didn't have to wait for a table. We all want a damn plug. Urban Meyer is Tim Tebow's plug to getting into the NFL. I ain't mad at him for that. Like, everybody is looking for that opportunity. We see it all the time in the NFL and any other league and corporate America, everywhere. Everybody wants to connect. All right, let's get to the football part. Man, ain't no way in hell. And listen, this is one of the situations. This is one of those things where you think about just the context of the NFL and how hard it is to play on that level. But to play on that level after being away this amount of time and never playing the position, and also you think about the other dynamic, which is the locker room. The locker room. I would tell Urban Meyer, be careful to alienate the face of your franchise, the guy that you just drafted number one overall by bringing in Tim. Listen, this is not an indictment on Tim, but he's going to take away. He's going to be the face of that franchise if he makes the team. We all know that. And Trevor Lawrence is going to be sitting there as the number one overall pick at the most important position in the league saying, how do I navigate this being a rookie? That would be one concern. The next concern would be that tight ends room. All of those guys that have been putting in work and trying to figure out how to make a team, and not only make a team, contribute. And if you bring Tim in, they all know it's because Urban Meyer is the head coach. And if you keep him on the 53-man roster, you could imagine the type of conversations that would go on in the locker room. I want to bring people in. Like, this is not about guys being mad at Tim Tebow for having an opportunity. This is about those players on that team feeling like somebody was given something because the head coach and Tim has a great relationship. That is the part I would be concerned about if I'm in Jacksonville and in that locker room and have to manage the climate and the temperature of that team. But everybody want to plug, G. I'm still looking for a few. If any Jordan plugs out there, holler at me.
You need a sneaker plug. You need a food plug. All those plugs. I get it.
So much interesting stuff here. And Nico, I wanted to come to you because you were making the point in our meeting this morning about just if he is out there on the field playing tight end, the way defensive players mm-hmm. like yourself might react to that.
Listen. If it's fourth and one and I see Tim Tebow come in as a tight end to block me, hey, I'm eating that thing up. I'm just getting into him. And I'm going. Listen, at the end of the day, a quarterback does not want to line up at tight end. And you talk about a DB or a linebacker covering him in a route. Imagine if you're a DN. Marcus, you walk up, you see Tim Tebow coming down on you. You're like, that's not going to scare me. I'm not nervous. I'm not worried about
that's
that.
That's a win.
And listen, you better believe that, you know, you're going against a tight end on a Wednesday in practice, and he's like the third string guy. Yeah, he might get you a little bit, and you're like, yeah. If it's Tim Tebow, you better make sure that quarterback never gets you. He never gets you. So every single player that goes against Tim Tebow is going to make sure that Tim Tebow does not block them, because You are going to be judged on that. Listen, guys watch tape. They watch practice. They watch one-on-ones. And if you get blocked by Tim Tebow, it's going to be an issue. So you better believe people are going to strap up and get ready to get after Tim Tebow if he's a tight end.
That video you just saw, by the way, was Ninko sacking Tim Tebow for a 30-yard loss. Kimberly, you've lived this back in 2012.
I covered that game. I was there. I was there, yeah. Greeny, I can't believe that I'm back talking about Tebow. Like, that's how I started my career, like on the Jets beat after he's traded, and now here we are. But anybody who thinks that Urban Meyer is not in complete control of all of this is, I mean, he's running this show. He would not have taken the job if he didn't have full autonomy. One leak source even said, you know, this isn't as egregious as him hiring Chris Doyle, but it's still pretty bad because it doesn't make sense. Now, here's where it makes sense because of the bond, obviously. Heisman Trophy winner, Florida National Championship. You know, it doesn't cost you anything if you sign him. And you got to cut him? Okay, we didn't lose anything. I've heard everything from he will not make the roster, no way in hell, to the best he's going to do is a practice squad guy, to, hey, don't be surprised if he retires by training camp. This is all about trying to sell seats. That's what a lot of people think. And in Jacksonville, you need to drum up interest somehow.
Marcus, I got 30 seconds left. They're yours. What do you want to finish with?
Gee, listen, man. The serious part of this, man, and you think about all of the things that people have talked about, the serious part of this is the bottom line, when you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, you're in the business of winning games and putting the best players out there that you could possibly play with. And it ain't no way in hell Urban Meyer think that Tim is going to play tight end and put his team in a position to win games. Like, we laugh and we joke and we think about this, and Urban Meyer is doing what a bunch of coaches do. You don't burn bridges, you create these connections. But Tim ain't playing tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars, y'all.
We have so much more to say about this as the morning continues, and we will. And there's other things to get to as well, including this. Our crew will tell you exactly why the mess in Green Bay just got much, much worse. The very latest on Aaron Rodgers on the Packers is coming up. And we got sneaky Hembo time. Tim Legler is going to join us next, and this one's for legs. Since seeding began in 1984, which is the only team to win the NBA title as a 4 seed or lower? That's the question. The answer is next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Here we go. We're back with Sneaky Hembo, and Tim Legler is the one under the microscope. Here's the question, Legs. Since they started seeding in 1984, which is the only team to win the title as a 4 seed or lower?
I believe that's the Houston Rockets, if I recall correctly. Didn't they come from somewhere a little bit lower than that to win a title with Hakeem?
That is correct. I told Hembo in the break, I think this one's too easy. The 95 Rockets, who traded for Clyde Drexler during that season, they were a 6 seed. They swept the Magic in the NBA Finals. Way to go, Legs, who is here to talk about, among other things, this game last night. We opened the show with it today in case you missed it. Lakers-Knicks, no LeBron last night. Game went to overtime in L.A., a thriller. Lakers by 1, Anthony Davis takes it in, limping a little when it was over, but stayed in. Lakers a 3-point lead. $1:15 to go, Knicks down by 2. This is Julius Randle knocking down a 3. He had 31. Spike Lee loved it. Knicks had the lead, but that was their last lead. 25 seconds left. Lakers down by 1. Here's the big shot. Haylen Horton Tucker. LeBron loves it. Lakers a 2-point lead. Last chance of the night for the Knicks. Winds up in the hands of R.J. Barrett, who had a terrible night. He was 0 of 7 from 3. This one at the buzzer, not even close. Anthony Davis had 20. LeBron and AD and company love it. The Lakers get a win, 101-99, as we take a look at where that leaves everybody in the Western Conference. Remember, the play-in starts at number 7, and you see where everybody is sitting with just a few days left in the season. So things get very exciting here in Legler. Let me bring it back in and start the question with this. We got Anthony Davis limping. We got LeBron James, you know, taking another day, working his way back. What is the priority for the Lakers right now as far as getting out of the play-in tournament relative to resting those guys?
Well, I think for me, it's try to get into the six, because when you start to roll the dice and you think, well, hey, look, we've got the most talent, we've got two stars, we're going to be okay even in a one-and-done type format, that's a scary situation and a proposition for the Lakers when you've had two guys miss this much time late in the season, because you're talking about getting into potentially a one-off against a team like Golden State. If it happens that way, that is red hot, that has a guy right now that puts so much pressure on you defensively in what Steph Curry does, that in one game, one night, you really want to bet against that guy in that kind of rhythm when you've got two stars coming back and trying to find their own rhythm and find their own legs and find their own efficiency. That's a scary situation. And if you lose that game, okay, you say, well, we've got another shot here to play maybe one of those 9-10 teams and still be able to salvage this and get in. If that's the case, though, again, you're talking about one night, Greeny, and that's the fascinating part about these playoffs and what they have added here and the excitement they've added and the level of drama. So if you're the Lakers, you want to try to get into that six, because you feel like in a best of seven series right off the bat, even if you have a couple guys like this that play poorly maybe, or one of them has a bad shooting night, okay, you lose a game early in a series, you think over the course of seven games, they're going to be okay. But when you start getting into these one-and-done NCAA-type situations with two guys that have missed this much time late in the season, that's a scary proposition.
I'm with you. It's the antithesis of what the NBA postseason usually is, and that's one of the things I personally like the most about it. That said, if AD and LeBron are healthy, and that is an enormous if right now, but if they are, then what are the Lakers in the Western Conference when the playoffs begin?
If those two guys are healthy and are able to survive whatever they see early, whether that means you have to win a play-in game or you know, just to get in, I think when you look at the top of the Western Conference, you're not seeing teams up there that the Lakers are really going to fear. As good as Utah has been, as good as Phoenix has been, I don't think the Lakers are really worried about winning a best of seven against those teams. And again, if those series get stretched out, it buys their two star players more time early in the series to find their rhythm. So the answer to your question is, if those two guys are healthy and they're able to survive early, then the Lakers can win it all. And I think most people will expect them to be in the NBA Finals regardless of where they're coming from if both of those guys are healthy. Because remember, Greeny, home court advantage is not what it was in years past in the NBA playoffs this season. The Lakers aren't worried about going into a situation and having to win really one road game in a best of seven. That's all you really need to steal home court. If those two guys are healthy, they survive early, the Lakers can get back to the finals and win a championship.
Yeah, more and more fans are starting to come into these arenas, but it certainly is not what it normally would be. Legs, outstanding. Thank you for getting up with us. Meanwhile, before you go to bed tonight, we got a good NBA doubleheader, and it's all about playoff positioning. 7 Eastern, Wizards trying to get to the 8th spot in the East, Hawks trying to hold on to 4, and the Blazers trying to hold on to 5 in the West, Jazz trying to lock down number 1. Really good doubleheader tonight. Both games on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, back to the drama in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, one of his current teammates, made really interesting comments. He was on The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports. Packers receiver Davante Adams asked about how the situation in total impacts him.
We established a lot together, so it would change a lot, man. You know, doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but you know, I definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here. There's certain things that, you know, I can't speak on specifics, but there's certain things that he wants, and maybe the club wasn't so excited about living up to right away. You know, that can affect a guy who's done so much for an organization. He's put his body and his really laid his life on the line out there for that team, for his teammates and everything. So I've been behind him 100% throughout the whole thing.
And so he talked about how if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, he would have to do some thinking about his own future. Marcus, now this is a complete mess. Your thoughts?
Gee, you took the words out of my mouth. A complete mess. Listen, hey, you know how I am, G. You know how I am. Words are very important when you're in a public forum answering questions like that. And sometimes what you don't say is more important than what you said. Mm-hmm. What I didn't hear Devontae Adams say is, the Green Bay Packers and I plan on moving forward. I love this franchise. Can't wait to sign an extension. Mm-hmm. I've had a great time here. What you heard him do is endorse Aaron Rodgers and his thought process in walking out of Green Bay, which should be very concerning to Gutekunst Mark Murphy. And yeah, you can talk about the contract and they can franchise Devontae and keep him there and all of that stuff. Devontae has kind of that stature where he could create a riff. He's that type of player. And, gee, you know, I tell players in the NFL all the time, and I was one of those guys, don't walk up in there stomping and beating your chest like the franchise going to do something you want to do. I wasn't good enough for the franchise to look at me like that. They would have been like, all right, bro, peace out. Good luck to you finding the future. Devontae ain't that guy. Devontae is a top three player at his position. So to hear him, Devontae endorsed Aaron Rodgers. He talked about his thought process if Aaron is not there. And the one thing we all know, y'all covering this league, me and Neek playing in this league, them paychecks have your name on them. Those accolades have your name on them. So when you think about Devontae with the possibility of getting $100-some-odd million to play wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, and he's not talking about his future in Green Bay. He's talking about his mentality and mindset based on what Aaron Rodgers is going through. That not only lets you know their relationship, that lets you know how Devontae is thinking about his future as well with the Green Bay Packers.
Ninko, last time I asked you, you said they'd be crazy to trade Aaron Rodgers. They can't do it. Where do we stand today?
This has future documentary film written all over it called
30
The
for 30.
Fall of Green Bay. The Fall of Green Bay. And I'm not talking about leaves. I'm talking about if you trade away Aaron Rodgers. Just imagine this. Imagine this. You are in the upper levels of office in Green Bay. You say, you know what? We're going to trade Aaron Rodgers. You trade him away and he goes somewhere, say, I don't know, the Broncos. Somewhere where he goes out there and wins a Super Bowl. You know what that's going to do? You know what that's going to look like? That is going to change the narrative of every name involved. The people that acquired him, the people that let him go. And that will go down in history. You don't trade away Aaron Rodgers. You make Aaron Rodgers happy. You surround him with protection and weapons, and you maximize the potential that he has right now going forward the next, say, what, 5, 6, 7 years? Look, we just saw a 43-year-old quarterback win a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is in his 30s. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why you would trade away a guy like that. Because if you do, there might be some future film documenting that whole thing. And it's called The Fall of Green Bay. That's what I would
title it. What if I told you that Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams both left Green Bay after having record-setting seasons? Kimberly Martin, your thoughts?
At this point, we've been talking about this so long, I'm mad at both sides now. You know, I feel like Green Bay should have handled this better, but I need Aaron Rodgers to just come out on the record, say what he wants, be very specific. Because, you know, if you're in relationships and you hear people talking about, I'm not happy, this isn't working, well, you know, at some point you got to tell somebody what you want. You got to let them figure it out. You got to let them help you. And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers wants to stay there or not. If he wants to leave, then allow, go. Just go at this point. Go, let them trade you wherever you want to go. But just, it needs to end. It needs to end because he's too good not to keep.
We'll see. He hasn't changed his relationship status on Facebook yet, if that's still a
it
thing.
It don't
we'll
need
see.
To end.
We'll see where it goes. All right, we'll hold that thought a minute. We're coming back to it. But coming up next, does anyone have a chance of stopping the most unstoppable force in all of sports from continuing to dominate? Are we starting to see the beginning or the end of Nick Saban's time in Alabama? Plus, is Tampa Tom in the driver's seat for an 8th Super Bowl ring? Who are you taking, the Bucks or the field? We're talking about that and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and look, Alabama is coming off another national championship, looking to repeat next season after completely dominating the NFL draft with a record-tying 6 players coming off the board in the first round, 10 of them over the course of the draft. Alabama, a 13-0 season, 6 national championships the last 12. They're 3-1 favorites to repeat. Clemson, the second favorite at 4-1. Ohio State, third at 7-1. Here's our own Heather Dinich with more on the dynasty of the Crimson Tide.
Nobody, not even the legendary Bear Bryant, has won as much at Alabama as Nick Saban has over the past 14 seasons. With 7 SEC titles, 6 national championships, and 6 playoff appearances in the past 7 seasons, it should come as no surprise that Alabama is the favorite to win the SEC again. While Alabama fans take a smug satisfaction in this, others are yawning, yearning for somebody to topple the Tide. It all starts in the SEC West. According to the All-State Playoff Predictor, no game will impact the college football playoff race more than Alabama's trip to Texas A&M in Week 6. After finishing number 5 last season and feeling snubbed by the selection committee, the Aggies were painfully close to the playoff, but were kept out in large part because of their 28-point loss to Alabama.
John Metchie, touchdown!
This year, A&M will have 4 new starters on the offensive line and a new quarterback. But Jimbo Fisher, a former Saban assistant, has recruited well, and the Aggies return the bulk of a championship-caliber defense.
JT Daniels, first play of the fourth quarter. Hello! Touchdown!
If the Aggies aren't up to the task, Georgia might have what it takes, if it wins the East and faces Alabama for the SEC title. Quarterback JT Daniels returns. The Bulldogs are loaded at running back and wide receiver. The defense should again be one of the best in the country. But Kirby Smart, another former Saban assistant, is 0-3 against the Tide with the Bulldogs. Kirby hasn't done it yet. Neither has Fisher. And that might be all the motivation they need.
Well, it feels like November as I welcome Heather and Paul back to the program. It has been too long. And Heather, let us start with Saban, or let's just get directly to him. You know, I remember having a conversation with your buddy, Mr. Feinbaum, over there a couple of years ago when we were wondering whether we were approaching the end of the Saban dynasty. Now it feels like we couldn't be further away from that. What is your perspective?
As long as Nick Saban is there, Greeny, so is that dynasty. But that does not mean that Alabama is invincible. They can certainly lose. And Jimbo Fisher said that they're going to win this game this year. And he never would have said that if he weren't confident. And the reason he's confident is because he's had 3 recruiting classes that are very highly ranked and has brought in the type of depth that they can now lose as many players as they did this past offseason
and reload. He's not worried about his quarterbacks and that starting quarterback race. He's got four offensive linemen he has to replace, and he's going to do it. And they're going to lean on their running game and Isaiah Spiller to break in that quarterback. He thinks they're going to be just fine. There's no fear factor there anymore.
Paul, we've seen a lot of legendary coaches coach deep into their 70s. I'm thinking of Bobby Bowden coaching even longer than that. Is there any reason to think that we're not relatively closer to the beginning than the end of this thing for Saban?
Greeny, when the two of us went down that rabbit hole 2 years ago, he was closer to the end, meaning Saban. I'm going to make you a prediction. 20 years from now, the two of us will be sitting in lounge chairs in Miami Beach, and we'll be watching Saban win his 24th national championship. This guy's not going anywhere, and because he's got a better staff today, he's got better players than he did 2 and 3 years ago when he was still playing for national championships and maybe not losing one. There's only one caveat here that I think could undo Nick Saban. And Heather, with all due respect, you know how much I love you. It's not going to be Jimbo Fisher, I promise you. It is going to be name, image, and likeness. When this goes through in a couple of months, I think it will probably send Nick Saban and every other coach up the wall, and it really depends on how he navigates that issue in terms of how many more national championships he wins.
I'm with you on that, but my response to it, though, and Heather, I'll give it to you here, is that there's no obvious reason to think he won't navigate that better than everybody else will. He's navigated all the other changes better than everybody else. Yes, it's a complicating factor, but I don't have any obvious reason, Heather, to think he won't handle that better than everyone else, too.
No, I think Paul makes a great point, but I'll tell you what, in all of the big picture stories that have gone on in college football, Nick Saban has always been an authoritative voice and a leader and always brings good perspective as to here's what to do next. And I think name, image, and likeness of all programs might really benefit Alabama in terms of recruiting, but that's going to be a Wild West type thing that we all have to sort of get our arms around.
Final thought, Paul, go.
Yeah, I think he will do it better than anybody else. The problem is it's the little things, Greeny. I've always felt like with the big coaches, it's the minute things that drive them crazy. And this may be something that Saban can't control. And that's unusual because he controls everything else, including what we're saying right now. He is right next to me telling me what to say.
That would not surprise me at all. Paul and Heather, a pleasure to see you both. Thank you so much, as always. We will check in again soon. Meanwhile, back to the NFL as the schedule is coming out. And we're starting to figure out what next season is going to look like. And the most popular bet to win next year's Super Bowl, well, this is no surprise, Tampa Bay, 9% of the betting so far on them. They have plus 650 odds to win it all. Kansas City is second there with San Francisco and Cleveland sitting there right behind it. And so let me come out to the group on this if I can here. And let's just do a little game called Bet Your House. And Rob, I'll start with you. Bucks or the field? Who have you got this year if you had to place that little wager for yourself?
I mean, you know who I'm going with here. Come on now. I'm going with Tom Brady. I'm going with the Bucks, returning all their starters. Just look, they won the Super Bowl last year on a weird year. They're going to have more, I guess, confidence going into this year. They're going to have more chemistry. So I'm going with the Bucks.
And they're going to open their season on that Thursday night opener, Marcus, against your Dallas Cowboys. Your thoughts, Bucks or the field?
It's the field, G. And listen, as much as I love what Jason Light did, the general manager for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, bringing these guys back, and I know TB12 is there with all of his guys, and they're trying to put together another run, Patrick Mahomes still plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, yo. And I don't want to forget that you lost your whole offensive line before the Super Bowl, which primarily cost you the opportunity to win that game. So I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs, and Andy Reid until never.
Okay. Kimberly, how about you? Bucks or the field?
So Marcus, my man Marcus, will not bet against Patrick Mahomes, but he's going to bet against Tom Brady. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. The person you never bet against is Tom Brady. I've made
it don't
that
have
mistake.
To make sense
my
for you, Kim.
I'm not going to do it again. I'm with Rob. I'm with Rob. It's the Bucks.
I love the way she shut that down. Very quickly, we saw Browns and 49ers both up there. Super high picks, and obviously. So who you got? Which team you have for the better season right now? Rob Ninkovich, Browns, 49ers.
This is tough. I'm going to go with the Browns on this one. I just think that the 49ers have some question marks. The quarterback position, is it Jimmy G? Is it the rookie? You look at Cleveland and what they were able to do last year. They're going to try and build on that. So I'm going with the Browns.
Marcus?
The Browns, G. Listen, you know, dark horse Super Bowl contenders. I firmly believe that as long as Baker keeps progressing. But this team is built at the line of scrimmage. And as much as we give Kyle Shanahan credit for what he does from an offensive standpoint, I beg people to go look at 16 games last year from Kevin Stefanski. In not 16, 15, because we got mad about him not running the football in one of those. But this team is very good. They're built the right way. And as long as that quarterback continues to ascend, the Cleveland Browns are going to give people hell.
Kimberly?
All right, so this is why both Marcus and Rob are wrong, because I covered a lot of Browns games last year, and the fact that this is what happens. Everybody starts to believe in the Browns, and then things go sideways. So the key to the Browns' success, they love it when no one believes in them. So reverse psychology. I'm going to say the 49ers, because me picking the 49ers ensures that the Browns will have a better season. There you go.
Both fascinating teams. We'll see when Trey Lance becomes a starter, and the Browns will open against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kim just told the Browns they can't handle success.
That's exactly what they can't handle. The Browns can't handle success. Now, let me break on that thought. We've got the schedule coming out. We have so much to get to. It's jam-packed this morning. The NFL schedule release is ongoing. Where will your team open up? That's the question. We've got the answer. Next, Get Up on ESPN.